There's a young man here tonight. His name is Lucas Hickman. And I believe with all my heart, God's laid his hand on him to preach. And he wants to go into full-time evangelism. Or into evangelism, let's put it that way. I don't know about full-time. And so therefore, he wants you to pray for him. I believe that when God calls someone to preach, he doesn't have to call him through a school. He doesn't have to call him through a circle or an organization or the good old boys club. That's the way I started. Just a call from God. That's all. Didn't belong to anybody's group. And to this day, thank God, I owe none of them anything.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And so tonight I want you to pray for him as he comes up here to preach his word. Ask God to fill him with the Holy Spirit and then use him for the glory of God. Amen. Lucas Hickman.
God bless you. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank the Lord for being here tonight. I'm going to turn this on. He said it should already be on. There it is. All right. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, all my family, for coming. My entire family's here. They love me. The Lord loves me. I don't deserve the opportunity to do this. That's for sure. If you have your Bibles, we're going to begin in the book of Ruth, chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 19. We're going to go to a couple different places, but this is going to be the bulk or the key verses for tonight. I want to speak on something that I'm sure most of you have heard something similar to this, but the Lord's laid this on my heart, and I didn't know how to approach it, and I didn't know the answer to my own question at first, but I thank the Lord that he gave me the answer as I was studying. I still hear pages turning, so I'll wait a moment. Beginning in verse number 19, "So they two went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, Is this Naomi? And she answered unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty." I'm going to read that important part again. "I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty." Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for another day of life. I thank you for giving us the opportunity to meet in this church house, God. I thank you for a free country and the ability to worship. We take it for granted so very often, God. I pray that it would not be my words, but it would be you through me, God. I pray that you anoint me with fresh oil and fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that if anyone in here is not saved, God, I pray that they would not leave here without accepting you as your Lord and personal Savior, God. Because nothing is worth dying and going to hell. I thank you for everything that you've given me, everything that you've given this church, and everything that you've blessed us with. I pray that you would speak through me clearly, that my words would be understanding, that people would comprehend what it is you'd have to say. It's in your son's perfect, precious, and most righteous name that I can ever pray. Amen. So as I repeated when I was talking, is the important part here is that when the Lord brought her back, she says that he brought me back empty. Okay, so she's empty, but we already know that she's accepted Christ as her Lord and Savior because she says that the Lord has brought her back home, which means she's been there once before, which means she's already in the family of God. So there's two types of emptiness tonight. There's two types of emptiness. There's people who are empty and who are lost. They're empty simply because they're lost. And they haven't accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I'm going to cover that first because that's what I feel is most important. If you haven't accepted the Lord as your Savior and you may not even know the gospel, I'm going to go through it really quick. If you've ever made a mistake, you're a sinner. And I can tell you that you've made a mistake because God tells us that we were born sinners. We were born in the flesh. Therefore, there's none righteous. No, not one. We've all made a mistake at some point in life, whether it was stealing a bobby pin or whether it was murder. We've all committed a sin. Therefore, the punishment for that we deserve is hell. We deserve to die and go to hell and to suffer forever and ever eternally. Things in hell are not fun. It's suffering forever. You won't see a baby. You won't see the person that is closest to the Lord that you rely on. You won't see the Lord. If you don't believe in the Lord, you will believe in the Lord once you're there. That's a fact. It's somewhere you don't want to go. It's somewhere that you wouldn't want your worst enemy to go there if you'd seen it. If the Lord would let us see hell for about 10 seconds, I would guarantee that all of us would change a lot of the things we do. Our purpose in life would change in a lot of ways. We would focus a lot more on what we need to be doing. But there's good news to the fact that we deserve hell, and there's one answer. The Lord is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you have not accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, then the way to escape hell and to enter the perfect streets of gold with the Lord is to accept Him as your Lord and personal Savior. Now, how's that possible? The Lord died for you. The Lord came on this earth, and the Bible tells us that He resisted all temptation that came His way, and He had the same temptations that we have each and every day. But He resisted them. He didn't sin once. He's perfect. He is perfect. And He chose to suffer and die for you. Not just a bullet in the head really quick and He was dead. He hung on a cross and He was crucified and He suffered and He died for you. And then 3 days later He rose and there was victory over death and sin. So if there's an emptiness in your life right now and you don't understand it and you've never heard the gospel and you just did, or if you hear it later on as you're watching this, then I'm telling you that the emptiness that you're searching for is the Lord. That's what you're searching for. The world can give you a lot of options, and the world can give you a lot of things you want to do. We get focused, really, really focused on some things. You may chase drugs, you may chase alcohol, or you may chase something as simple as your spouse or sports or something that you put in front of God. And you're chasing and you're chasing, whether it be the worst of the worst or just something very simple. The answer to the satisfaction and the hole that is missing in your life is the Lord. That's what's missing. Now, what I really want to focus on is I'm going to move on to the people who've already accepted Christ. I'd be ignorant to think that everyone in here has accepted Christ, but I would also be ignorant to say no one in here has accepted Christ, because I know some of you very well, and we know them by their fruits, and it's evident in this building. But there's one thing that we forget a lot of times, and it's that we can have the Lord and somehow have some emptiness inside of us. Just because you're saved does not mean that you're living perfectly with God. So I was asking myself this question, okay? I was trying to figure out what it was the Lord wanted me to preach on. And this wasn't the original sermon whatsoever. And then I read this and I questioned myself. And I questioned what it was saying. And as our pastor said this morning, you'll learn a lot if you read the Bible and start asking why. If you read the Bible and ask why. So I was reading how she came back empty, but she already had Christ. So I was confused. I was like, why? And then it hit me. And I really, really thought about it. And then I thought about, what is the greatest commandment in all Scripture? The greatest commandment. You'll find it in Exodus and you'll find it in Matthew. And that is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what it is. And we forget that. We forget that all the time. You can fill your life with all sorts of things. You can preach every service. You can go soul winning each and every day. You can run a bus ministry. You could be a missionary. You could do all sorts of things. You could praise louder in church. You could sing louder. You could start offering to do things. You could sweep the floors and clean the bathrooms. And somehow there's still a void in your life. And you know that you've accepted Christ at one point in your life, but for some reason, you're just not with Him. In the book of Matthew, God tells us that we are supposed to thirst and be hungry for righteousness. We are supposed to thirst. You know what thirst and hunger is? It's a discomfort in your body. It's a discomfort that you want to fulfill. And as we get further and further from Christ, sometimes it's easy, because Satan's smart too. And Satan gets in your head. And Satan knows exactly when to come right beside you. He knows exactly when to put you off the path. And at some point, you have to ask yourself, what is it that I'm living for truly? What is it that I'm actually thirsting and striving for? Am I thirsting and striving for? Sometimes, even people in church, great people, they thirst and they hunger for ministries and this and that and this and that. And they forget that in 1 John, God tells us we must have fellowship with the Lord. That's a personal thing. That's a personal thing. You can't have fellowship for somebody else. I wish I could. And I'm sure our pastor wishes he could have fellowship with God for all of us in here. But what is fellowship? And if you look it up on YouTube, our pastor will pop up. And he's preached on fellowship with the Lord. And how it's asking the Lord to enter your soul and say, God, I need you. God, I want you. I want to have fellowship with you. I want to have such a peace that surpasses all understanding. And that's what I'm talking about, because I can guarantee you 80% of the people in this building right now, they live their life day to day, and not once do they think, what am I doing for the Lord? That's sad. That is very sad. Because most of us do that. And I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty of it too. I get off on my work day, I start doing this and I start doing that, and I forget that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if you love the Lord with everything in you, that proves that you care about it. That proves that you care about it. If you're an athlete and you want to be good, you'll spend time on it. You'll do that. You'll practice. If you're a musician, you'll practice to get better. You'll spend your time on that. You'll focus on that. And as much satisfaction as that can bring sometimes, it's temporary. It's just right now. And sometimes it lasts a couple minutes, a couple hours, a couple days. And sometimes sin lasts years and years. But at some point, you're going to hit the end of it. And then you're going to ask yourself, what is this void? The void is thirsting and hunger for the Lord. Genuine thirst and hunger for our Lord and Savior. A relationship that you do not have with Him. And a lot of times, we fill that void with looking at other people. Well, I'm better than that person. Well, they do this. Well, they do that. It's sad that the people on this side of the church sometimes won't sit on this side of the church because someone else is sitting over there. That's sad. I've been to churches where I've sat down and they said, oh, we sit over here. Well, why? Because so-and-so sits over there. We're all in God's family. If you're saved, what's the issue? We're called to seek and to save that which was lost. Why are we bickering with each other? Why are you holding a grudge of someone else in your church when the goal is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength? It makes no sense. And I got convicted when I realized that. That was something I learned in kindergarten. I went to a Christian school, and I remember distinctly my kindergarten teacher telling me that. I learned that in kindergarten, which means when you first got saved, that's probably one of the first things you learned, was that you're supposed to love the Lord and follow the Lord. That means you're supposed to thirst and hunger for fellowship and a relationship with Him. And some people may say, well, how do I do that? I don't know how. I don't know how. Well, in Psalm 57, we had a brother come not long ago, and he preached, guest speaker. I wish I could remember his name, but I can't. And he preached on Psalm 57, and he stayed in it the whole time. But I want to focus on Psalm 57. It's a Psalm of David. And what this brother preached on, I'm pretty much just going to go over his sermon again because it was good. It was really good. And as our pastor says, if you're not going to use another man's mind, then you're pretty stupid. Because most of the time, there's someone smarter than you. There's always a bigger bear. I want to focus on some of the things in this chapter that we need to do more often. And that is simply the phrase, oh God. Oh God. Now, I try to picture how David was saying, oh God. I don't think it was just, oh God, I need you. Oh God, help me. I will just take this off. Or turn it off. I think it was more of a, oh God, I need you. God, be merciful on me. Because if you think back of where you were, if you don't forget where God brought you from, then every day I promise you'll say, God, I need you. God, I do not deserve this. I do not deserve the death on the cross. I do not deserve forgiveness every day. I do not deserve freedom. If you forget where you came from, then I can almost guarantee you, you will fall out of fellowship with God. Amen. And it is possible. It is possible. Amen. What do you do? What do you do when you fall out of fellowship with God? It's time to get on your face and say, God, I need you. Not I want you, but I need you. And then after I need you, you'll realize how much you want Him. Because once he gives you the satisfaction you need, it's not time to leave. It's time to say, wow, this was actually fulfilling. The things I was doing weren't. Watching that basketball game wasn't fulfilling. It was fun for a moment of time. Playing that instrument wasn't fulfilling. Watching pornography was fulfilling for a moment. It happens for a little while, and then it goes away. Because that's not true satisfaction. Satisfaction is in God. And you'd be surprised the percentage of men in the church who watch pornography. And you'd also be surprised the damage it does to your brain. It's more detrimental to your brain than a shot of heroin. That's a fact. You can look it up. It's more detrimental to your brain than a shot of heroin. And the more and more you watch pornography, you become a threat to human society. I don't even have time. I don't even have time to get into that. But my point being is when you thirst for the things of the world, the satisfaction will end. So where is the satisfaction? The satisfaction is fellowship with God. One way to be sure to always have fellowship with God, is to think in the morning, what am I going to thirst for today? What am I going to thirst for today? You have to think about it before you get there. You have to think, what am I going to thirst for before you're thirsty? I pour concrete for a living. I love my job. It's a very hard job. It's hot in the summer and it's cold in the winter. And in the summer when it's 80, 90 degrees and we're pouring a 50, 60 yard driveway, there's one guy that used to work with us. And man, I would share water with anyone on our crew except for this one guy. And you can picture him in your head, I'm sure, but it was that guy, okay? But one day I got thirsty and I got real thirsty and I didn't think in the morning I need to bring a water bottle today. Or I need to bring a cooler for the water. And when I got to the point of being thirsty, you better believe I shared a water bottle with that guy because I was thirsty. But that's what we do with sin. It's because if you wake up and you don't instantly think, what am I going to thirst for today? God, be merciful to me today. I will praise you today. I will honor you and glorify you today. Then when you hit the thirsty point, you'll do something you wish you wouldn't have done probably a month from now. You'll do something you shouldn't have done because that's exactly when Satan says, this is what you should do. Yeah. This is exactly what you should do. You're not satisfied right now. You didn't look for God this morning. You didn't take the time to wake up 15 minutes early. This is what I'm going to offer you. And I promise you that 9 out of 10 times, what the devil has to offer you in the world, in the flesh is more appealing than what the Lord has. But the Lord's is way more rewarding in the end. I can promise you that. We need God every day, every second of every day. We need to not forget where God brought us from. I went to a meeting about a month and a half ago up in North Carolina, and the preacher preached, his whole message was on, don't forget where God brought you from. And boy, did it make me cry. See, I'm someone who grew up in a Christian home. My entire family's here. My grandma's here. My grandma and my granddad's here. My mom's here. My dad has that work, sadly, but I know he's watching. My brother's here. My other brother. My sister's in the nursery with her baby. My entire family's here. My cousin's here. And I know that the rest of my family is watching me right now. I came from a great family, a great heritage. And I'm more than thankful for that. But boy, do I still not deserve what God has given me. Just because my parents made me read my Bible every night for the longest time did not mean that I wanted to. When I hit a certain age, in my head, I was thinking, you know what, I'm going to do this because this is what they want me to do. But deep down, I did not care. I do not deserve what God has given me. I have made mistakes. And now I'm going to get to this. And I love this because a lot of times when people point fingers, they say, well, their mistake is worse than mine. Let me tell you something. If someone came in here right now and said, I murdered someone, God will still forgive them. Therefore, so should you, because we're supposed to be Christ-like. We're supposed to strive our best to be exactly like Christ. Therefore, if someone comes in here and says something like that, we should love them the way Christ loves us. That's hard to think about in our head. Amen. And you think that you're perfect. I know it. You think that you've already done that. Well, I promise you, you failed at some point because there's someone you've been mad at. There's someone you're holding a grudge against. And if certain people walk through that door, oh, I could picture some of the faces that they would give them. Whoo, why are they sitting on the front row? Our pastor just a couple weeks ago said, come on in, sit right on the front row. You need it more than any of us. But all sin is still equal. Therefore, the man that comes in here that has murdered someone and sits on that front row, he is just as sinful as you who stole a bobby pin. That's crazy, ain't it? The consequences are different, I understand. But the sin is equal because that's what God said. The sin is equal. The sin of someone murdering someone is the same sin as you having hatred in your heart towards someone. Yeah. It's the same sin as you holding a grudge. The same sin as saying, oh, well, this person wore that. That person shouldn't wear that to church. This is ridiculous. Whew. My brother-in-law is a youth pastor, and I love my brother-in-law. I love my sister, and she married the best man she could have married. They go to a Southern Baptist church. Do I agree with everything they do? No, I don't. But let me tell you something. That man in a Southern Baptist church who has a couple different values than we do is 10 times more forgiving than 98% of the people in the Independent Fundamental Baptist Church. Oh, yeah. I have never been in a church I agree with doctrinally 100%. I agree with my pastor. That's why I'm here. But what's sad is the people that I grew up with are so judgmental. They want to point fingers at everybody else, and they won't look in the mirror. They won't say, I've made a mistake. You think you're so smart. God doesn't care how smart you are. D.L. Moody said, I'd rather have zeal for God than know everything about the Bible. I agree with that 100%. I would rather love the Lord, my God, with all my heart. And I'm not the smartest person in the world. I do not deserve to be preaching. But I would rather love the Lord with everything in me and do everything I can for him before I die. Because eternity's much longer than your 70. I hope we live longer than 70 years old. But I'm sorry. Eternity is much longer than our life on this earth. Amen. We had a missionary one time give an illustration, and he had a rope that went all the way to the back of the church. It went almost out the door at our old church. And he put a tiny piece of tape on that rope. He said, this is how long your life is compared to eternity. That was probably the best illustration I'd seen in a long time, because that was a long rope. So the little time we have on this earth, why aren't we loving the Lord with everything in us? Why aren't we thirsting for the Holy Spirit? We want revival. You hear it all the time. I want revival. I want revival. Where does revival begin? It begins in your heart. It doesn't begin in you pricking someone else's heart. God says, take the beam out of your eye before you take the tiny, tiny little substance out of someone else's. You're picking and prying at everyone else when you haven't had revival in your own heart. How do you do that? You get down and you say, God, I am thirsting for you. I want joy from you. I want you, God, more than anything. And it's time that most of us come get to the altar and say, God, I want you more than anything. Give me direction to lead my family. Give me direction to lead my spouse. Give me direction for what I'm going to do in this world. We go by the things of what people say instead of going by the guide of life. This is our instruction manual. It's hard sometimes. It corrects us. It whips us. Boy, my daddy whipped me growing up, and I deserved every bit of it. God whips us too. He whips you in ways you don't understand, but he whips you in ways you need it. Because God loves you. God died for you. Why can't you love him? Why can't you love someone who died on a cross for you? Amen. Suffered and died. So I'm asking, if the title of this message is, where's the satisfaction, or are you empty? Are you empty? See, I don't want it to be, are you empty? Because people are instantly going to think, well, you're not saved. That's not the case. You can be saved and be as far away from God as you've ever been. That's how this world works. That's how sin works. You can be so far away and still have the Lord in your heart somewhere. But it's time to say, Lord, I want my life back. God, I want joy again. I want you to guide me. I want you to lead me. Amen. It's not the easiest path. It's not. It's hard. People make fun of you. People pick at you. Whew. I had friends, once I did get saved and started preaching a little bit, I had friends who made fun of me, of course. Because I was that kid. Well, let me tell you something. There were times where I cowered down because of that. Oh, yeah. And boy, do I pray every day now. God, help me not to be scared. Help me to be fearless for you. Amen. And I'm not talking about the little opinions churches have. I'm talking about the Word of God. Yeah. This is the authority. Yeah. This is it. We don't live by bread alone. We live by the book. We live by the Word of God. This is our feeding. This is it. Amen. They say you can't go 4 days without food and water or you'll die. I've read stories of men who ask for the Lord. They get on their face and say, God, please anoint me. Please fill me with the Holy Spirit, Lord. And they go days and days without food and water. You know why? Because that's not of the world. That's when the Lord gets involved. That's when the Lord said, this person wants the Holy Spirit on them. This person wants that. The Lord has not changed. He can do miracles just like he could years and years ago. We act like since it's a different day, God can't do what he did. That's not the case. The way that the disciples were supposed to follow Christ, so are we. We're supposed to follow Christ just like the people back who lived on the earth with the Lord. And you can look around and think of the miracles, because it's a miracle that we have a church to worship in, a church building. It's a miracle that we live in a free country. I hung out with a friend yesterday who's been to a couple different countries. And the words out of her mouth was, people don't understand because they've never been to a country that's not free. If you go to a country that's not free, you'll understand the blessing it is to live in a country that's free. There's people who get locked up and who get killed for doing what I'm doing right now. But it's free. I can do this freely. I can do this wherever I want in America. Well, not anymore, but that's how it's supposed to be. I'm supposed to have freedom of speech, but let's not get on that. So if you thirst for the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you won't burn out. And that's my final point, is if you walk in the Spirit, you will not look for the satisfaction of the flesh. If you're walking with the Spirit of the Lord, you won't look for the world. It will look for you, and it will convince you sometimes because you're not perfect. And it will try its best to get you all the time. But if you're walking with the Lord, then you have complete satisfaction. And if you're truly loving the Lord with everything in you, then you will not burn out. You will not say, I don't want to do it today. I don't do this. That's Satan in your head. Satan can put some thoughts in your head. He can put that inappropriate image in your head. That's when you got to say, Lord, help me. Lord, I need you. I can't do it on my own. I need you, Father. I need you more than anything. So my question, if you leave here, is when you leave here, my question is, are you empty? And if you're empty because of no salvation, then hell's not worth going to, no matter what the reason it is that you're not coming and getting saved. I promise you that. I don't care if you've been in the church for 50 years and, well, everyone thinks I'm saved, it ain't worth dying and going to hell. Amen. And all my friends will make fun of me. It ain't worth your friends. I promise you that. You get saved and you get them in here. That's how it needs to be. And if you are saved, then what are you thirsting for? Are you thirsting for the things of the world? Are you thirsting for each and every day? For your job? For money? For all these things that are nice to our flesh? Or are you thirsting for God? Are you thirsting for the Holy Spirit? Are you thirsting for something that we need? That this country needs? That this world needs? We need the Lord. We need a revival. I couldn't agree more. When pastors get up and say, we need revival, or when people of the church say we need revival, I couldn't agree more. But it starts with you at your altar. You and the Lord get together and say, God, I need you. God, whatever it is that's standing in my way, whatever that besetting sin is that creeps up on you all the time and it takes your joy, it's time to say, God, I will give it to you. I'm done. Amen. It's actually not even the sin that God wants. When God asked Abraham to give him Isaac, it wasn't Isaac that God wanted. It was the faith and the trust of Abraham. So it's time to get down and say, God, this is the sin that's stopping me from truly thirsting for you, from truly loving you with everything in me, all my strength. It's this sin. And for everyone, it's probably something different. And people probably don't know that sin. It's probably just you. You know it. You don't want to share it because it's embarrassing. It's time that we give ourselves to God. We lay the sin down and we say, God, I need you more than that. Yeah. The Lord can overcome it. You cannot. That's the truth. Your sin and your flesh cannot overcome whatever it is that's stopping you from serving the Lord. You have to get down and say, God, take it. Use me, God. I need you more than anything. Without you, I am nothing.
Amen.
Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for another day of life. I thank you for giving us the opportunity to come into this building and to hear what it is you'd have for us, God. I pray that you would fill this building with
your Holy Spirit, with your power, God. I pray that we would just love you and trust you. I pray that the words I had were clear, God. You promised that your word will not return void. We need you with everything in us, God. I pray that if there's anyone in here who has not accepted Christ, that they would come and say, God, I'm a sinner and I need you in my heart. And that they would turn to you. And if there's any Christian in here, God, that is has some type of emptiness and doesn't understand, that they would lay down that one thing and say, God, I need you more than anything. I don't care about being the smartest person. I don't care about being this. I don't care about being that. But they would say, God, I want you. And that's all I need. Because with you, all the other great things come. And it's more rewarding in the end. It's in your Son's perfect and holy name I pray. Amen.